Good morning, my BSN and coffee listeners. So I want to thank y'all because we're slowly growing. I know there's not many listeners, but I have had it played quite a bit. So I want to appreciate and thank every single one of y'all for listening, for at least trying to listen to it. If my voice annoys you, I really am sorry. I have always loved to do podcasting. I just never opened one myself. So I just want to welcome you to today's podcast from BSN and Coffee. Grab your coffee, grab your blanket, grab your book, your journal, your pen, whatever you need, and get cozy. Because we have a timeline today of what has gone on and developed in the missing case of Gabby Petito. As many of you know, Gabby and her boyfriend had actually started a road trip in early July. Unfortunately, he had returned for some odd reason in which we know right now of speculation, which was between August 17th through August 24th. Brian had actually left to Florida. Now, we don't know 100%, but what we do know right now is that the family is speaking out stating that Brian actually left back to Florida to move all of their things, including Gabby's things, inside of a storage unit. Why? We have no idea, but we'll definitely look into that more. First, I want to thank y'all once again for listening this morning. Secondly, I definitely ask that y'all please empower somebody today, whether it be a woman, a child, or a family member, somebody who just needs that uprising motivation to go throughout their day, just because we don't know what everybody's going through, right? So I ask that y'all actually look over to one another and motivate one another to become better. It's something that we just honestly push through throughout the day. With the way the world is today, we should definitely look into maybe making somebody's day, whether it be very small or big, anything. So I do have a quote from William James today, and it says, "Act as if what you do makes a difference. It does." So remember once again to keep that in mind throughout the day. Make somebody's day. Help them stay motivated, and let's get through today all together. So let's go ahead and get started with the case of Gabby Petito. So we are looking at the timeline of events this morning, and I'm actually, it's quite a bit, honestly. The way that this case has turned out to be is beyond me. Why things are developing the way they are and why Brian is refusing to speak. As many of you know, Brian Laundrie is the was the fiance, let me say it that way, and I'll explain why in a little bit, but was the fiance of Gabby Petito. Now, in 2019, Gabby and Brian Laundrie had begun dating, right? And so, as many of you know, and I'm sure a lot of people have now looked at her Instagram, she's got many, many things on there as far as like their pictures together and stuff. And some of them seem odd. So we'll also go into that in a little bit. In July of 2020, Brian initially had actually proposed to Gabby, from a statement earlier from the family stating, that Brian's family was actually at, the father and the stepmom's house, and they were very excited and happy that they were engaged. So as to why they are not speaking and saying where Gabby is, because they know where Gabby is. We are sure, or we can speculate, I guess you could say, but Brian basically went back home without Gabby. So as a parent myself, I know my kids are little, but I can't see myself accepting my son to just walk in his home and not have made sure his fiance was back home safe. Now, keep in mind that they did live together. Now, there was something going on in the internet from a close family source saying that they were actually moving their things into a storage because of the fact that they were moving out of their parents' house, or his parents' house, I apologize, because they were getting divorced. Now, as far from what I have seen, they don't look like they're getting divorced anytime soon. I say that because I've seen many pictures on the internet now where they are together. So it just doesn't make sense, right? Anyway, back to what we were saying. So it's hard to say what happened or what has changed the mind of the father-in-law and the mother-in-law to keep quiet. It's beyond me, you know? So moving forward with the timeline, July 2nd, Gabby Petito and her boyfriend, or fiance, I guess you could say, Brian Landry, leave Blue Point, New York, for a cross-country trip in a camper van, okay? So these are like those, let's use an example. This is actually a Ford van, right? But I'm going to use an example. Many of you have seen the Mercedes-Benz buses. Now, this is a van sort of like that, but it's a lot smaller, okay? And so it is a closed one. They actually turned it into a camper to kind of chill in, you know? And I seen many pictures where they either just chilled in it or they had actually slept in it. And there was another one where they were camping out in their own tents. I guess they could use it for both. But basically, a lot of van lifers use vans like that, you know? And so it's pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool. If you actually look into it, it's a pretty cool thing to do if you really like nature. Now, they basically converted it into a camper and they both took off. So they both quit their jobs and they took off on this country road trip, you know, cross-country road trip. Now, keep in mind, they initially were in New York. From my understanding, they both met in New York way back when they were in high school. They just did not like actually date or anything. So they had met up again after, and then is when they actually, you know, started dating. So they left Blue Point, New York, and they went all the way through Colorado, Utah, Wyoming, all of that is what they were going to be doing. And so basically come August 12th, the Utah police responded to an incident with Brian, Gabby. Now, I'm sure if you're following this case, you have seen the footage. There has been raw footage that was put out yesterday before noon that showed where Gabby was crying uncontrollably while Brian was just chatting it up with the officers, charming them, talking to them, playing with them, laughing, all while his fiance is sitting in the back of a cop car crying her eyes out. For what reason? We don't know. So basically, Gabby and Brian, you know, somebody called the cops on Brian and Gabby because they were not actually the reporting party. Somebody else had actually contacted the police telling them that they had seen where Brian had actually shoved Gabby. And so basically the officers had conducted an investigation. They ended up determining that there was insufficient evidence. So there was nothing that they could actually justify any criminal charges against Gabby. Now, when that happened, basically they just separated them. That's all they did. So I want to take a look at this really quickly before we keep going with the timeline, just because when I saw that video, the first thing that came to mind was something's not right. And not only that, but let me tell you something. So a lot of people have actually made tips to the FBI line stating that they have seen them, inside the store, that they had bought water bottles, that they had bought ramen noodles and some cookies. Let me tell you why the water bottle stands out to me. Because in this raw footage, Brian refuses a water bottle from the police. For what reason? He supposedly uses the excuse that, of course, we all know, yes, water bottles are bad for the environment, right? They just get thrown back into the, you know, garbage, and then they end up in the landfill. So he said that they were using a reusable jug to fill up water. I get that. Now, what I don't understand is how come he actually bought water bottles from a store if he actually does not believe in using a water bottle because they get thrown, regardless if he was going to reuse them or not. You know, he may have recycled them, but I don't know. The way that this thing is playing out, the first thing that came to mind was he didn't want to give them their DNA because they actually ended up taking, you know, the bottles, I guess, that they were getting, because Gabby did actually drink water. She did accept a water bottle. Now, the way that Gabby is acting in this video personally is actually receptive behavior from a narcissist. That's what it is. And it's so sad. It's so sad to see it. If you have not actually looked at it, it's on Facebook and it's actually on YouTube as well. If you go on there and just type in raw footage, Gabby Petito and Brian Landry stop, you can pull it up. Now, basically, they were stopped. And when they were stopped, they pulled out Gabby of the car because she was crying. And Brian was just like literally very chill, which is very odd and weird. So he basically tells the police officer that he doesn't have a cell phone on him, that he does, but it's not on him, right? And so I'm not sure what reason or why, but so after this begins, they start investigating, they start looking into this, more officers start to show up. I'm very uncomfortable with the way they handled this personally because she's a woman. She is a woman and he's a man or a boy or whatever you want to call him. To me, he's a child because he's very immature right now. But they basically, I feel like they gang up against Gabby just because I understand that it maybe she hit him or something, but if you really take a look at it and if you've had experience with a narcissist, you would know exactly what that is like. So Brian basically charms them up, talks to them, plays around, kids around, laughs with them, and then tries to say she's crazy. Like she doesn't even take her meds or something like that. And then turns around and he's like, I'm just kidding. He's very hateful. You can tell he is very hateful. So when Gabby gets off the car, basically they ask her like what the argument was about, you know? So many of you know that Brian and Gabby actually were trying to document their whole cross-country trip because what they were actually trying to do was create a blog together. It was just going to be called, I think, The Van Life, but it's very weird because they have a very weird name to it. And I'll look at it shortly so you can see exactly what it is, but they basically were going to blog it. And she says that Brian doesn't believe in her. Now, I think that that could be why they were arguing. We just don't know, right? I mean, we don't really know what happened, but it's just very odd. If you definitely watch that video, you'll get chills because it's just so weird, you know? They do end up separating them for the night. So Brian goes to a hotel that was provided, keep in mind, by the police officer because he was the victim. Now, I'm not saying men cannot be victims of domestic violence. I understand that and I've seen it firsthand. I definitely understand that. Now, I personally have not ever put my hands on a man or has anybody ever put their hands on me, but I do know of somebody who went through something similar. Now, in that case, yes, he was the victim. But I'm going to tell you something. This video shows a complete opposite of what a victim should look like. She's crying her eyes out, doesn't stop, and then the actual police officer's disregard to keep asking her why she's still crying is just, it just baffles me because honestly, I think as a police officer, somebody who is a public servant who is trying to see what's going on and investigate is maybe to get down to the root cause of why she keeps crying. You know, I get maybe she has anxiety or she's bipolar or she's mentally unstable, whatever they want to call it, because that's all, everything I've seen, everything. Everybody's called her probably just about everything. But I'm going to tell you something. All I see is a young woman who is hurting, who is crying, who is confused and is scared. She looks scared. She really does. It could be because they got stopped. It could be because of anything, you know? So continuing to after their stop and where they placed Brian, they ended up placing him in an actual, an actual hotel for safe haven. So obviously we don't know where that's at. Many people have said that they have sighted him at a hotel. So we kind of know where. But as many of you know, like safe haven is something where you just cannot go and tell them, right? So basically they separate them. Gabby is told to take the van and, you know, sleep somewhere else for the night, as well as Brian. So the night that they actually argue and fight is the same night that Crystal and Kylan go missing. They didn't necessarily go missing for a long period of time. They were gone for a couple of days. Family couldn't hear back from them. And if you have not heard about that case, we will do a second part on that case. So I'll do a spinoff on this one because then you'll understand why they are actually in some way weirdly connected. Now, the FBI and the Northport police as well have not ruled out that they are connected. So brief background, Kylan and Crystal were murdered back in August in a campsite. They were shot many, many times, and they were undressed from their bottom down. So they don't know if they were sexually assaulted or not. They don't know what happened exactly. However, they were, yes, they were shot, they were murdered, and they have yet to find a murderer. They have yet to find out who did this to them. And it just so happens that the same night that Brian stayed at the hotel, which, again, mind you, people have said that they have sighted him, was at the hotel across the street from a bar called Woody's Tavern. So Woody's Tavern is somewhere that has confirmed that on one of those nights, which was August 12th through August 13th, it could have been in, you know, in between into midnight, Kylan and Crystal were there. They haven't said if Brian was there, but it just seems odd the fact that he stayed right across the street from them. It could be a coincidence, but we don't know. They visited the same campsites as Brian and Gabby did, as well as Kylan and Crystal had made a comment to a family member saying that if they ever went missing, it was because they were murdered. And not only that, but get this. They told their family that there was a creepy guy next to their campsite, that they were going to move campsites the next day. So we'll go more into detail on their murder later, but I kind of had to give you a background so you understand where it comes into play with Gabby and Brian's case. And so that it's a whole odd situation, right? Well, come August 21st, Gabby's father has placed an Uber Eats delivery for her because she had limited service. Of course, there was fires out there and stuff, and they weren't able to move from where they were at. And so Gabby's father placed an Uber Eats for them. He does remember speaking to her that day. And keep in mind, this is a daughter who keeps in touch with her parents every single day. I am a person who keeps in touch with my mom every single day, as well as my dad. So if I ever go missing, they know. They know that something's wrong because I talk to them every single day. So fast forward to August 24th, Gabby's actually last seen with Landry checking out of a hotel, and that is in Salt Lake City. So that is Utah for many. And basically they just check out and they have spoken to the hotel personnel. Apparently they seemed normal, like a normal staying couple. They were fine when they saw them in the lobby. There wasn't anything off or anything like that, you know. Come to the next day, which was August 25th, Gabby's mother, Nicole Schmidt, actually speaks to her for the last time over the phone. She learns that she's in the Grand Teton National Park, which is in Wyoming, and basically that's not the last time they had communication with her, but that is the last time they physically spoke with her over the phone. So that's the last time they actually heard her. Now, if y'all have seen the statement of Nicole, which is the mother of Gabby, you would understand two things. Either something's going on where, yes, Gabby was possibly unstable at the time mentally, and I have anxiety just as a lot of people out there. So you can understand that when you have a panic attack or an anxiety attack, you are just not all there in that moment, if that makes sense. Like, you're not there, you know, your mind's just not there. It's somewhere else. So basically she says that when she speaks to Gabby, she says that she didn't seem off, but she did say that the things she was saying were a little bit weird and concerning. What that could have been, we don't know, because they have not actually spoken on what it was or what was said or any of that sort. So come September 1st, guys, Brian, her fiance, the person who is supposed to protect and love her for the rest of her life, the person who has loved her for the past 2 years, who has slept right next to her, has returned home driving Gabby's van alone. What does that tell you as a listener and you as the public? What does that tell you looking out in? He's either guilty, he did something, we don't know where he's at. Like, what did he do? Where's Gabby? So basically he returns home, he drives her van like nothing, and he just thinks it's okay, you know? There's no clarification if Gabby's parents had actually had any conversations with him previously to that, to find out that Gabby wasn't back with him, you know, that she didn't come back to Florida with Brian. It's just odd, you know. Now, this van is registered under Gabby Petito, so it is her van, but he's driving it. So I did see where Nicole and her father have said that they reached out to the family several times throughout this time. However, Nicole did start to reach out to them throughout the days to kind of see if Gabby was okay, because they had not heard from her, with no response from the parents of Brian or Brian, which of course seemed odd because according to this, you know, article that we have here, Nicole says that they loved Gabby. You know, even the sister of Brian came out saying that her children loved Gabby, and they don't understand, you know? And so basically he returns home. Well, September 11th, her parents actually report her missing. They report her missing and they report the van as well, because at this point they don't know if the van is with her. They are going to assume that the van was with Gabby. So they report the van missing. At this point in time, after it's reported missing, Brian gets stopped in this van and they're like, hey, You know, this was reported missing and so was her van. And they asked questions. But let me tell you something. Brian returns home. And as soon as he came back, I kind of have a feeling that this had already been in the works. But this isn't, it wasn't really made public until it came out. Brian had actually attained a lawyer. So he has a lawyer now. He has a lawyer who keeps telling him to stay in the background and not speak. And that's understandable. We all know that that's what lawyers are paid to do, right? So he's told to hush, not say nothing, and sit back and stay in the background. Is what his lawyer has, is what he and his counsel have agreed to do for Brian. So basically, come September 11th, Gabby's Instagram account went down around 6 a.m. It did not come back up until about 10 a.m., which was odd. Now, Instagram, again, I'm sure y'all remember, I said this yesterday. So Instagram basically said that they accidentally removed the page because they were investigating fake accounts. So we're going to leave that at that because it may have been that. We all know that they definitely do take their time to investigate those accounts and get them taken down. So basically where we're at with this is what happened to Gabby? Where is Gabby and how come Brian doesn't want to speak? This is a case that I think that I will personally remember for the rest of my life, regardless of the outcome, just because it's just insane. This is insane that... she's not okay. Like something's wrong and she's probably not okay. It's very scary. So basically you can definitely follow, the Find Gabby Petito. I'm sorry, Find Gabby, on Facebook. And they basically are this is the Facebook page that the family has made. So you can actually look it up. It's a personal blog, but you can look it up at Where is Gabby or Find Gabby. Go in there and definitely take a look and, see what's going on. You know, they do have fundraising efforts that are there to help their search. There's a GoFundMe. And I believe there's another one called the John McNamara Foundation. And of course you can find all of that on their page, but, they've been very, very good about posting updates and stuff. And so it's very scary, guys. This news of Gabby Petito missing has made it all the way to Australia. I seen earlier. It's all over the world. And honestly, there's no bad background about Gabby. Everything that has been brought up, said, and, you know, dug out of has been amazing things about her. She's a beautiful blonde who is very slim. She looks very outgoing. Her pictures look amazing. She doesn't look like she honestly has anything going on, which, again, of course, we can all hide behind that, right? But it's just a little scary, you know, to see a young woman has gone missing and yet nobody has really done anything about it to help her, you know, come home. And besides her family, because yes, as the public, we're all looking, but we can't really do much, you know. It's very scary and I can just imagine what their family's going through. So it's definitely a case to look into. I recommend looking into it. It's amazing. It's very scary, but it is definitely something to look into, especially if you love criminal cases, because you'll just be sitting there. I've literally invested my time into this case so much that I have just, you know, because it's very odd and different. Now many people are asking how come Brian's lawyer isn't saying anything besides we're gonna sit back. I don't know if many know how legal counsel works. But basically if I'm attaining a lawyer because, you know, for whatever reason, something happened, lawyers will probably most likely ask you if they find something, can they find something? If they do get something, are you going to be in big, big trouble? Like you're going to go to prison or jail. And if they say yes, then he's like, okay, I'm going to take it. I don't want to know details. I don't want to know what you did because then I can't defend you. I can't say, no, he didn't do it because you've already legally told me, but I don't want to know details. And that's just how lawyers work, because that's just how their job is. You're paying them to defend you, but you don't want them to know. So they know you did something wrong. They know you did something bad, but they don't want details, because when these things come out, they get to go through all of that in discovery. And then they kind of take a turn and decide what it is. Because what if you go and you tell your lawyer that you have now done a crime, right? So if you've done a crime and you don't tell your lawyer and nobody ever finds out, there's nothing they can come back and get you with, right? Your lawyer has done their job and you have won your case. Now, if you go back and you tell your lawyer, I did this, this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and your lawyer's like, well, they didn't find any of that, but they did find this, and it's a lot lower over here. Your lawyer's kind of obligated to kind of speak now. Hey, there's this, because they're under oath, you know? So it's very scary to think that these four are in this plan, which is Brian, his dad, his mom, and his lawyer. But it's really just something that they have to do because, again, he's a lawyer. That's what his job is, to sit there and protect them. So a lot of people have just been asking about that. There have been a lot of tip lines. Remember that you can always send a tip to the FBI line as well. They're definitely accepting tips all the time right now. They are trying their absolute best to try to see what all they can come up with. I think that the police definitely know something more, and they're obviously not going to tell us, because what they don't want is anybody to tip off anybody, especially if something bad has happened to her, you know. It's something that you just don't want something to happen to them, you know what I mean? What if she's safe somewhere right now and she doesn't want to be found, but somebody tips somebody off and they go and they find her, and now she's not safe anymore. So definitely go check out their Facebook page, look into this a little bit more, so you can continue to follow us with our podcast. It's literally very, very crazy just the way things are going on and happening. There's been many tips of her family and her friends, and everybody basically just says that she's an amazing young woman who honestly just shouldn't have gone missing. She's definitely something, not out of the ordinary, but she's a very sweet girl, so it just kind of makes you hard to believe that she's gone missing. Now, keep in mind that Gabby is 5'5". She has blonde hair and blue eyes. She does have a triangle tattoo with flowers on her left arm, which say, let it be. I'm sorry, the tattoo with the flowers on her left arm, and then there's another tattoo on the right arm that says, let it be on her arm. But you can definitely call if you have any information, or for whatever reason, if you were around that area, and you can call the Suffolk County Police Department, which is 1-800-220-8477. Their phone number is 1-800-220-8477. Again, you can always call the FBI hotline as well and let them know that you have any information of what's going on. And again, just go look at their YouTube channel so you can watch that raw footage. It's very odd, very different. Definitely check it out on Facebook. I know that it's all over Twitter at the moment and Instagram, so it's impossible to miss. I just want to thank y'all once again, and thank y'all for listening today. And if y'all have any questions, any suggestions at all, definitely email us. It is aleaguirre400@gmail.com. Let us know if you have any other questions or any concerns, or if even you just have a suggestion on what we should do for a podcast. I would really appreciate the feedback. So I just want to thank y'all again, once again, because y'all are amazing. And I ask y'all to subscribe and share this podcast. Thank you once again. Your co-host Alejandra is out. Thank you.